With is a zoning agreement amendment at 1555 Regent Avenue West under file ZAA7 of 2013, and the applicant is Paul McNeil. If you could come down.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul McNeil. I filed the application on behalf of Kildonan Place. There are two other members of our delegation here on behalf of Kildonan Place, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. I'm Peter Havens, the general manager for Kildonan Place, employed by Ivanhoe Cambridge, the property owner.
Excuse me, Peter. I'm going to switch you to the support of the application.
Thank you.
My name is Graham Silvera. I'm the new VP Retail Development for Ivanhoe Cambridge in the Western Region. And I just want to say, if this was the city of Vancouver, I'm from Vancouver, unbelievable public hearing. Every single person would have spoken for their full 10 minutes. So I appreciate the residents here tonight doing that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I was expecting us to follow the Shindico application, so a couple of my comments were really in anticipation of responding to some of the conditions that may have been set for Shindico, so I will adjust my presentation slightly as a result of that. I would like to comment on one item before we start, and that is a small clarification or correction on one of the maps that is illustrated within the planner's report. It's my point number one on the sketch on page 8. It's a minor consideration, but the boundaries as shown on the map are not correct, and I've submitted as exhibit number one in the package that I've submitted to you a corrected, and I've met with Mr. Rabin regarding that, and we're in agreement that that was an error. That's a simple matter of correction. The nature of the application before you is an amendment to a zoning agreement that exists on Kildonan Place, as you are all aware.
Sorry about that. Neil, go ahead.
That's fine. The zoning agreement that was put in place dates back to 1980 when the shopping center was first developed. It is not uncommon, as you are aware, to have zoning agreements registered with retail commercial developments to set, amongst other things, the requirement to come back for site plan approval. But put it within the context of when this was put in place, there are a number of conditions within the zoning agreement that you would not normally see in a current zoning agreement. And part of that is the context of the timing when this was put in place. Following the amalgamation of the city in 1972, the city adopted several zoning bylaws that existed prior to the to amalgamation, and as a result, across the city, there was a bit of a hodgepodge of conditions within different zoning bylaws that set different conditions. And so through the zoning agreement process, at the time, the planning department was trying to level the playing field so that all shopping centers met with certain conditions that were similar. And as a result of that, a lot of the conditions that are in the current zoning agreement are no longer applicable, because since that time, the city has adopted a uniform zoning bylaw across the city, and these lands are now zoned C4. And what we've asked to have a number of the clauses simply dropped that are no longer applicable, because the current C4 zoning bylaw covers many of those items. One of the items that was put in place when the zoning agreement was originally created was a cap on the amount of square footage of retail that could be developed on the site. That cap was specifically related to off-site infrastructure, road improvements. that were not entirely in place at the time. At the time that the shopping center was approved, the shopping center was required to do a number of off-site improvements along Regent, on Lagimogier, and on Narron Avenue, on Stapon, what became Stapon Road, and on Reinders. In addition to that, there are a number of requirements for the city to install infrastructure on a number of those roads. The developer paid for all of their infrastructure up front as part of the development of the shopping center mall in 1980, but the city's improvements were handled over a number of years as capital budgets allowed them to be constructed and built within that area. And as a result, slowly the other components that needed to be included within that were added. And I think that's very important because probably what should have happened is once those were all done, and I can't give you a date on when that was, but at that point, it probably should have come forward for an amendment at that time, but it didn't. Subsequent to that, there's been a lot of other new development that's occurred all around Kildonan Place. And if I could direct you for a minute to exhibit number two in the material that I've handed out to you. Exhibit number two is an aerial photograph that illustrates the boundaries of Kildonan Place. Everything that's shaded in yellow on exhibit number two are other commercial developments, retail developments that have been approved since Kildonan Place was approved. And that represents collectively the equivalent of more than two more shopping centers the size of Kildonan Place. To my knowledge and understanding, none of those other retail approvals required a similar cap on their square footage. So although Kildonan Place has been limited in its ability to develop the rest of its lands, all of the lands around it have not had similar restrictions. In many respects, this represents an on-plane and an on-level playing field with respect to Kildonan Place's ability to compete with other retail developers in the area for retail space. And that excludes the Shindico lands, which will add to that as well. That's illustrated in blue on that sketch. My fourth item that I wanted to speak about just very briefly was within the planner's recommendations. There is a recommendation in the planner's report that puzzles us a little bit, and that is the requirement. The planner is asking that a 25-foot-wide landscape buffer strip along Reinders be maintained from the original zoning agreement. Why I say it puzzles us is that I understand that the same requirement is not being asked for on the north side of Reinders, plus the C4 zoning bylaw does not have that requirement in it for other shopping center sites, so it seems inconsistent to us to maintain that requirement within this zoning agreement, and we would ask that that part of the application be allowed to stand and that that requirement be dropped in favor of the requirements that are currently in the zoning bylaw. And my last point before getting onto the ACG report is really the timing of the application. Just to be clear for everybody, and I think this is probably the case for all of the councillors who are aware of this, Kildonan Place does not have an immediate plan to expand the mall. It's certainly within their future plans to be able to expand, and Kildonan Place has another 7 acres of undeveloped land behind Canadian Tire that will be subject to a rezoning application that we expect to be filing fairly soon. We were waiting till the outcome of this hearing and the Shindico hearing before we filed that application. That has now been, I expect, depending on the outcome, that we will follow that within the next couple of months. When we were here a month ago, the councillors suggested that we should be having a public open house with respect to the zoning agreement amendment. We have now had that open house. Last Thursday, we had an open house, which was advertised in the Herald. In addition, there were direct mailings that went out to all of the residents on Almy, the residents on Ravelstone, west of Peguas, as well as a number of the businesses in the area, Canadian Tire, Costco, Shindico, Genstar, all received invitations. We had about 90 people out to Kildonan Place last Thursday for the open house. It was well attended and well received, and I have filed with the clerk for the record the open house boards that were put on display at that time to put on the file here as well. But a number of my comments when I get into the ACG report are really linked to the timing of the application, and that is specifically is that this is not being driven by Kildonan Place's immediate plans to develop on the site. Certainly that's in the intent in the longer term. If I could then just flip to, I should have referred you to exhibit number three in the material that I've provided to you. And I think this is probably the first time that you've seen, had an opportunity to see all of the applications that you have been dealing with over the last number of months consolidated into a single map that illustrates the various applications that have been approved or are pending for approval. And it's a considerable amount, and it's clear why the councillor for the area and the administration want to ensure that the road infrastructure is adequate to handle that. And we certainly want to be part of that. It's in Kildonan Place's best interest to have the street systems work as well. But again, I tie that back into the timing. For Kildonan Place's perspective, a lot of this is future for them. If I could then just refer to the ACG report, and I have a number of comments. A few of them are quite minor in nature. A couple of them are a little bit more significant. And as I said, it depends to a certain degree, or I was expecting to a certain degree, to have the outcome of the Shindico hearing before we commented. But the first is within the ACG report, Clause A1, in which the wording in that request is for Kildonan Place to pay for half the cost of a traffic impact study to be conducted by others, or if others don't do a study, then Kildonan Place would do their own. We certainly were expecting to do our own study. We have some concerns about writing an open-ended check for somebody else to do a traffic study, but certainly that can be handled within this if that's the collective will as you look at the two of them together. I'm not sure, Councillor, how you intend to handle that with the Shindico. We certainly will participate as required.
Vin Paul, the traffic study is, the goal of the traffic study is not a massive traffic study of the area, but rather to determine issues like channelization and road alignment, you know, how big a storage lane should be in terms of turning lanes and this sort of thing. That's
right.
The,
and that's my understanding as well. Typically, each of the applicants would do that on their own rather than rely on a competitor across the street to do it. But in this case, we're both working towards the same ends. If that's what needs to be done, that's what needs to be done. Again, I'm not sure.
Did it together, yeah. It makes sense to do it together.
It may in this case.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a question of timing. We may not be able to tell you exactly what our intent is with the type of retail mix that we're putting on the site, again, because we're a little ahead of the curve here in an effort to work collectively with the community. But that's not necessarily a big issue for us. I just wanted to raise it. Clause B1 within the ACG report refers to the requirement to pay for 50% of a wastewater sewer down Reinders. And the requirement for that also ties into how much right-of-way is required for Reinders. Kildonan Place constructed their own wastewater sewer system within the shopping center that accommodates its needs. It was not anticipating needing to utilize a wastewater sewer down Reinders. So as far as we understand, the only need for the wastewater sewer down Reinders is for the Shindico development. Justin may speak to this later, but it may be that the better alternative for that is to run the wastewater sewer through their own site. It would be their own internal sewer. And at this point, we can leave the wording as it is in the report, but I wanted to go on record as saying that from our perspective, contributing to that wastewater sewer is not necessarily something that we believe Kildonan Place should be doing. Clause 4B deals with intersection improvements. Again, I think you'll hear representation on the Shindico application with this. Under the development agreement parameters, the typical arrangement is that each of the property owners on the four corners would contribute 25% of the cost of traffic control signals. In this case, we're being asked to contribute 50%. And I think from our client's perspective, that really should follow the parameters and be 25%. Given that they are one quarter of the intersection. And again, if you look at that large-scale drawing that I showed on Exhibit 3, a lot of the traffic that's going to be going through this intersection is being generated outside of the shopping center. And so I'd ask for your consideration to reduce that to 25%. Clause 5 assumes that if Shindico does not proceed with their application, then Kildonan Place would be responsible for installing 100% of the roadway at this time. I would say that if Shindico doesn't proceed, it's unlikely that Kildonan Place would complete the application. They would pull it back at that point because they have no intent to invest in 100% of the right-of-way improvement costs at this time, given that they have no immediate plans. And generally, the way that these off-site improvements are financed are based on leasing arrangements as you add retail space to your city. And since that's not happening yet, the application would likely be put in abeyance until then. And that refers, I'll come back to that in just a second. Clauses 6 and 7, B6 and B7, refer to the sidewalks and active transportation trail. At the hearing a month ago, Shindico talked about the issue of the active transportation trail on the north side. I made representations at that time regarding the concern about the sidewalk on the south side. On exhibit number 4, or 5, just a minute. Exhibit number 5, there's an aerial photograph of the shopping center, and you can see on that clearly that the sidewalk has already been installed by Kildona Place about two-thirds of the length of its property frontage. We would not really want to tear that up and then have to contribute to building a new one. We believe there's enough room within the right-of-way that that sidewalk can stay where it is, and Kildona Place would pay for its fair share of extending that sidewalk towards Peguas. So eventually there'd be a sidewalk along the full length on the south side. Given that, and depending on your recommendation with respect to the active transportation trail, given that Kildona Place has paid for the sidewalk to date, we feel that we should be paying for the sidewalk, and whether it's a sidewalk or an active transportation trail on the north side would become that owner's responsibility. Item number F again refers to the amount of the off-site infrastructure. If we go back to the ACG report where they're saying that in the event that Shindico doesn't proceed, therefore Kildona Place will be responsible for 100%. This is asking up front for a letter of credit equal to 100% of all the infrastructure. And although that may seem like a simple thing, letters of credit are expensive to maintain, and they certainly are very capital intensive. They tie up a company's capital in a letter of credit, and it doesn't seem reasonable to us to ask Kildona Place to put forward a letter of credit equal to 100% of the cost of all infrastructure improvements. So we would ask that that be amended, that the letter of credit that is posted is equal to Kildona Place's share of the improvements as they're worked out by the administration. And the last item that I have is Clause 9, and that again refers back to some of the dialogue we had a month ago during the Shindico application with respect to the width of the right-of-way. And we have met with Shindico since that time, and we have met with the administration, and I think I will let Shindico speak to that issue themselves. But as I understand it, there will be no requirement for additional easements within the Kildona Place lands, which is what the concern that I expressed a month ago with respect to that. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will conclude my representations. I don't know, Peter, if you would like to add anything, or Graham at this point, or be able to respond to any questions that the councillors may have with respect to the nature of the application. I would like to say, just in closing, councillor, that this is a zoning agreement amendment. I've been handling amendments and zoning applications for many, many years, too long, some might suggest. But it's the first time that I've seen so many conditions put on a zoning agreement amendment rather than on a rezoning application. I was expecting a number of these conditions to show up when we appeared, filed for the DASZ behind Canadian Tire. Instead, the administration has decided, in the nature of ensuring that these get put in place, to attach them all to the zoning agreement. It's taken us a little off guard. I think it's something we can live with. Provided it's understood when we come forward with the DASZ, that in fact a number of the conditions that would normally have been in the DASZ have now been preempted and dealt with through the ZAA process. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions?
I don't think there's anybody registered in opposition.
There's nobody in opposition, but Justin Zamowski, did you want to speak in support?
Well, before we get into that, I guess your question, Mr. McNeil, I guess the challenge that we have here is the fact that you're asking us to lift the restriction in terms of the square footage allowed in terms of buildable use of the site. And I hear where you're coming from in terms of the fact that there's been other development in the area and everything else, but I think it's recognized that the reason you're able to do this today and the timing of this is because of the fact that we're talking about punching reindeers through and making that happen. And so without the reindeers expansion, the reason you've had the restriction placed on your property back to the beginning of time almost, 79, was and then slightly altered by a community committee a number of years ago, but still restricted, was because of the fact that the servicing issues are there in terms of the road. And now that you're here speaking to this, is that so is it not applicable in that sense? I mean, I know what you're saying in terms of you feel the requirements in terms of development of reindeers being onerous. However, if you know, the potential of being able to develop the site now is just, it's greatly increased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of the, there's another issue I want to raise as well in terms of land dedication, but not being charged here, which I find interesting, considering that the values would be changing as well on the site. But anyway.
I think it's partly applicable, and I say that from in the context of two rationales from my perspective. One, you're considering another application that fronts onto Reinders that would add as much additional retail onto Reinders as Kildonan and Place would, and yet there's no similar restrictions being suggested for anyone else. It continues to come back to be a restriction that is limited to Kildonan and Place. I think if you went back, or if we could find the files and the dialogue that went on in 1980, I don't recall, or I have not seen anything in the file that suggested the extension of Reinders to Peguas at that time was one of the expected infrastructure improvements. That predates Costco. It predated the upgrade of Peguas along the east side of Canadian Tire. I think a lot of the road improvements were really to the south and to the west, and I don't think this was really part of that at that time. But you also may recall, Councillor, a few years ago that we came forward with a similar application to remove the restriction, and at that time, concern about traffic was raised by the administration. We did do a traffic impact study at that time, and between ourselves and the city's administration, concluded that Kildonan Place could add approximately 100,000 square feet of additional retail with the current road configuration without the Reinders extension. And that was almost would have removed the cap. I think the cap, had we removed the cap, would have allowed something like 130 or 150,000 square feet at the time. And so it's not that the world is going to radically change when this comes in place. Secondly, if it's tied into the extension of Reinders, then it should not be an issue whatsoever. And so I'm not sure if you want to tie that in. I believe it's part of the conditions of this application that we are will be obliged to contribute to those additional improvements on Reinders. If there's a concern that we would then go ahead and build without the extension and without Shindico, that can be tied in to the approval process in this process.
Your issues in terms of timing, from what I understand with Clause 5 in the roadway improvements, the issue is timing, that you're saying Kildonan Place may or may not be developing at this point in time, and therefore why be required to install Reinders or be responsible for installing Reinders, correct? Is that the issue? That's what you...
Yes. I think it's related to the wording in the ACG report that assumes that if Shindico doesn't go ahead, then Kildonan Place will be responsible for 100% of all four lanes of the Reinders extension. Certainly the two lanes of Reinders could be extended by Kildonan Place, but to front end the cost of all four lanes on Reinders without the Shindico application is the part that we find not really palatable.
50% responsible only. I mean, if when Shindico goes forward, you would, right now it says here 50% on demand, 50% of the cost of the roadway. However, if you go forward with the development, they have 100% of the realigning. Is that not the case, or are you reading it differently? Am I reading it
the way that I read Clause 5 in the second paragraph of the clause, was that if the above-noted roadway, referring to Reinders and the requirements of Shindico to extend it or the other applicant, is not constructed by other,
first clause is your 50%.
Yeah. I may be misreading that, and Councillor, perhaps I can get some clarification through Mr.
Sure.
Raven with respect to the intent with respect to that clause.
Go ahead. Councillor, clause 5, the first part, is to pay 50% or two lanes, basically. And the second part is to construct two lanes, not four lanes, just to construct two lanes.
We're a bit confused, Mr. Chairman, and to you, Kim, is that the first paragraph refers to 50% of the cost of a four-lane divided roadway.
8.3 meters is two lanes?
Yes, okay. Well, if that's the case and that's the intent, then I've misread that, and it's therefore not an issue.
Okay. And then you wouldn't have any objection, because it sounds like the issue is in terms of timing and development on the site. You wouldn't have any issue if we had placed another clause in the development agreement or in the ACG report saying that the road construction be primary, and that no permit would be granted for superstructures on the site until the road is complete, those two lanes are done.
Two lanes of the road complete.
Right. That's what it says, yeah.
Yeah.
So
you're okay with that, Graham?
I think the administration is saying that because of the fact your property that you're filing for before us today is not the property that you also own behind Canadian Tire. However, you are the owner of that property as well, so it's recognizing that fact. And therefore, it would open up your lands and you'd be a direct benefit, and so there'd be an advantage anyway to yourself.
But right, yes, we would be prepared to accept that additional clause, Councillor.
Okay. The other issue I have, or concern I have, is we have right now, with the extension of Rangers coming through, the existing alignment of your road curves and goes south onto your property.
Yes.
But the irony is the general public doesn't think that your property.
Correct. It's treated as if it's a public road through the site.
Right. And I guess what I'd like to ask and discuss is the issue of this road, the north-south roadway, being that we as a city could enter into an agreement with you for easement to ensure public access on the north-south roadway at all times. The reason being is I realize that Peguis is going to, I can tell by the expression on your face, this is a bit of a curveball, but I mean, Peguis is going to be the main road, you know, in terms of access north and south in the future. This will become a secondary one, but nevertheless, it's a direct connection into, whether you like it or not, it directly aligns with Rougeau to the south. And I'm hoping that when we deal with any other application, that it also aligns with to the north, main access points from other properties, so that we can get a proper intersection there, not just an approach coming out from a door. Because the reality is, it won't be used like that unless you, as a mall, decided to to build out and build across that right away, which I would not be in favor of.
Yeah.
So the north-south right away, and I realize I've just kind of chucked this at you right now. Maybe you need time to think about it. But and we do have a bit of time. We don't have to necessarily rush anything right now. We can look at that in terms of this.
What I can say in response is that with the extension of Rangers, it was certainly the intent to realign that road so that it intersected with Rangers at a fully controlled
intersection, right,
and hopefully
right.
would line up with the applicant's property across the street, so we had a properly controlled intersection.
Right.
My reaction about asking about a permanent easement on behalf of the city, I have concerns about that, because that locks it in perpetuity, basically, unless we can get the city's permission to change that, which limits the owner's ability to do things on the site. And malls have a tendency to reinvent themselves every 25 or 30 years, and to be able to to look into the crystal ball as to what the mall might look like or the configuration of the mall 25 years from now, it's very difficult for any of us to do. But once we would introduce a city easement through the middle of the site, it would really be really tie the owner's hands with respect to how that might get dealt with in the future.
Yeah. I appreciate what you're saying, and I guess maybe as from a business point of view, it's not a bad thing when you have thousands of cars passing your front door or one of your front doors. and in terms of traffic. I mean, I would just, I know I just threw this at you right now, and you haven't maybe, but I mean, it's something that maybe you could be given some thought in terms of, before I start moving motions. I would prefer if there could maybe be discussion between yourselves and the public service.
Could I have just 30 seconds to have a quick conversation with my colleagues here?
Sure. I mean, the other thought, Paul, would be to say, you know, we have the ability to lay this over once more, right, if you want to have that discussion. But anyway, go ahead.
Just in terms of a very quick review of that, I think the owners of the mall would be prepared to accept an easement, but it would, in the ability to give us some flexibility, could it be a non-specific in terms of an exact description? Isn't that is to say that
some sort of north-south alignment of some sort,
and then give us the ability to, rather than have to go back through an approval process to say, gee, we realized we should have moved this over 5 meters this way or whatever, that we have the ability to meet the intent without tying our hands so tightly that it becomes a real problem in the future. And I understand your good intentions, but whether you're the councillor 25 years from now, we don't know.
Right.
I'd like to keep as much flexibility as we could.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable. Maybe it's as determined between both parties, you know, so the north-south is an easement, and then we'll just, in terms of the exact location, it would happen with your development as occurs, I would imagine. Right.
The other concern that I would have would be more general, and that is we know what the traffic volumes are on that today.
Yeah.
If the volumes increased beyond that and the city came back and said, well, we have an easement, therefore we want you to increase the number of lanes so that we can move more traffic through, I think that we'd have some concerns about giving up control over the site in that respect. It may be that what's going through there today is desirable from a retailer's perspective. If it were double that amount, it may be a problem for them all, and maybe wanted to limit the amount somehow. And I'd like to try to keep as much flexibility, and I think that's not unreasonable for us to say that, given it is private holding at this point.
Well, maybe it has to have a sunset clause on it that has to be renewed, right? So then you have a sunset clause that has to be renewed. So then there's an opportunity in the future to address issues as they arise.
I would be more comfortable with that, and certainly if we can find a clause
20-year or something, and then you can deal with the issues, because we don't know what's going to be in 20 years' time, right? So something to that effect. Anyway, okay. I don't have anything else. There might be other stuff we can talk about after we hear from the others. So
that's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Justin, did you want to speak?
My name is Justin Zarnowski. I'm from representative from Shindico at 1355 Taylor. We're in support of Kildonan Place. In fact, this is an important part of our application as well, to put rangers through, that both Kildonan Place and Shindico come forward and pay their fair share. And so we're glad it's being held at the same time. We have a similar traffic impact study condition in our application, and with a view to having it address queuing lanes and the alignment of Rougeau and things like that. I mean, it's an analysis we'll have to do, and if it's the direction from council, I mean, something we're willing to undertake with Kildonan Place. I mean, we have the same concerns about costs as they do. We support their reasoning on in terms of reindeers and Peguis being a 25% of, you know, the corners rule, where everybody pays their 25% of the cost of a light. With the sidewalk, we're being asked to provide a 1.5 meter easement on our land. The same request was made of Kildonan Place. However, since our last meeting, we've had the opportunity to discuss with them, as well as with our traffic engineers, and they suggested, although Public Works may be uncomfortable with the idea, that the right of way be reduced to 4.5 meter median in lieu of a 5 meter median with a safety curb. And that the snow clearing Boulevard be 2.5 meters on either side, which would create an extra 1.5 meter such that the sidewalk could remain where it is and no easement would be required from Kildonan in place. These are, you know, recent discussions we've had with Kildonan in place and pretty recent discussions we've had with our engineers, but notwithstanding the public works might be a little bit uncomfortable having a less than optimal snow clearing, it might be the solution that that kind of pushes this over the edge and works for Kildonan in place as well as with Shindigo. And I had a comment about the realignment of Rougeau. I mean, that's a piece of infrastructure that right now our site plan wouldn't perfectly line up with, but that we would certainly want to entertain that that going straight into our development, because I mean it would serve us to have the entrance there.
I have lots of questions to ask you about your application, but I can't because but you know, I thought it was important that we deal with the Kildonan Place application first, only because I think it's important that what's the old expression, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So anyway, I appreciate your presentation and for your support on this one, because clearly both development on both sides won't happen unless you both cooperate. So you're prepared to support in terms of the traffic study done in some sort of coordinated manner?
Yes, yeah, and I mean, it's probably in everyone's best interest to make sure the traffic works for us and them.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called that wishes to speak to this application? And your name? Did you fill out one of these slips? No. Okay, we're going to get Travis to give you a slip to quickly fill out then. Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Can you grab one from there? Destiny will get you that.
Old expression, what's good for the goose, good for the gander. What do you have anything you wanted to
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't. There was no opposition that was raised to the
chairman. He's the
Mr. chairman. Well, I'm speaking through the chair to the councillor. I'll get cross-eyed looking, trying to look both ways. Having heard no opposition, I really don't have anything further. I don't have anything further to add, given that there was no opposition or issues to address in that respect. We can answer any questions. I don't think Justin has suggested anything that's contrary to what we've said. We are trying to work together to make this work for all parties involved, both Shindigo ourselves, Genstar, who David represents, and the city are all key stakeholders in ensuring that this works well for everyone.
Now that I have your support to do the north-south route, which is the issue of a traffic control signal at that site would be pertinent, because it will be most likely busy, but it would not be something that I would want to say 100% responsibility on Kildonan Place in light of the fact that another property on the north side would benefit from it as well, and that really there should be a 50% requirement in terms of the obligation, because you're going to have people moving, you've got the major transit route and transit service that's offered at Kildonan Place, you've got people who will be walking that route. In the future, there will be no doubt when you come forward with landscape plan approvals, sidewalks along the right-of-way.
For clarification, where are we talking about?
I'm talking about Reindeers and the north-south road, right, the route. So,
okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to predict the future,
right,
which is hard. And I just, you're going to have an intersection there, which would be, going north and south and into a private mall as well, that would no doubt be fairly busy in the future. So. Right.
And you're suggesting that be 50% the responsibility of Kildonan Place?
Yeah. I'm not saying 100% unless you're building first, right, and then you're getting refunded. But
as you're probably aware, with respect to traffic signals, there are what are called warrants with respect to how much traffic and the type of movements that generate a point where you get to warrant. I'm not sure that we're at that, and perhaps that's something that traffic impact study could address. If that road through the Kildonan Place Shopping Center is being used essentially for partial public access, then I would also have to question whether it would be fair to ask Kildonan Place to pay for the full cost of a traffic signal if, in fact, a certain percentage of that traffic is flow-through traffic through the site. Whether we would not be prepared to pay, I don't know.
I mean, that's the whole reason for the traffic study, is to determine what threshold we'd reach to be that would need to be signalized. I do agree with what Paul said in terms of the use of that road. If that road is basically used by residents to shortcut up and back over Peguis and up to avoid the Peguis signal, that it would be unfair to have us and Shindico pay 50-50. We'd be looking towards something that the city would pay for that as well, if it is being used by the public and we're giving a non-specific right-of-way through the site.
Good.
So I'd agree with that statement.
Okay. The other we heard also from previously in terms of the repayment. So you have no issue with the two lanes in terms of the build out?
No.
Okay. That's all I have, actually. I hear what you're saying in terms of the traffic control signal at the intersection of Reindeers and Peguis, in terms of the 50% is something we're hearing from the other side as well. So I don't have anything else at this point. Do the public service want to add, or will the applicants here, in terms of what you've heard? I hear what you're saying in terms of the traffic light. The traffic study would determine that, but I think it's going to be necessary. I just even just from the pedestrian point of view, to get across. But anyway, no. I mean, those are death traps. Those pedestrian signals. I mean, we might as well go to a half signal, which is more. But you know. That if you're doing a half signal, which is,
you might as well
do a traffic light at that point.
I would agree with that, you know? Comment.
So it's just those other ones. Nobody. You might as well run the gauntlet.
Yeah.
So,
Councillor, all of the development's not going to occur all at once as well.
I
suspect there'll be a staged development, and so that if there's a warrant, it may be a progressive issue as well. I think we want to be cautious about not overbuilding infrastructure before it's required. At the same time, you don't want to wait too long, but at the same time, the sooner you build it, the sooner you've got to maintain it, and the sooner it wears out. If it's not required until a certain date, I would suggest that it be installed in accordance with when it's warranted or when those dates arrive.
Okay, thanks. I don't have any other questions. Did you guys have
any? No.
No, didn't? Okay.
Pretty clear.
Great. Thank you, Chairman. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can we take a 5-minute break? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
We're calling a 5-minute break.
Thanks. Washroom.